you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The White House continues to beat the drum about the looming sequester.
The effect of the sequester would be severe, and it would go right to American families, middle-class Americans.
But spokesman Jay Carney wasn't able to provide many details today about what President Obama's plan is to replace the automatic cuts.
I am entirely sure that we will continue to engage with Congress, including the leaders in Congress, on this issue at every level.
House Speaker John Boehner echoed that concern in an op-ed he wrote today for the Wall Street Journal, reminding Obama that the House voted twice last year to replace the sequester. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta informed hundreds of thousands of his civilian employees that they could be furloughed if the cuts take effect on March 1st. As many as 800,000 civilian DOD employees could be impacted. Panetta said that will result in a serious erosion of readiness across the force. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Tonight, I hope the week is going great for you. It is another middle of the week. I love this time because it's like right in the middle of the action. You know, we've had stuff happening. We've got, you know, a couple more days to go, and you know, it's great. I think this is an awesome time slot. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio, and I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And again, I'm really glad to be here broadcasting from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, where it's nice, still nice and chilly. Hope you know, people are digging out from that blizzard. So got a lot to cover tonight. I cover both Catholic news and also the political scene, and also any other news stories that catch my eye as I peruse the internet. Mixing the church and state, much to the dismay of liberals. I'm glad to do it. If I can just cause a little angst there, that's perfect. So I just want to note before we get into everything tonight, it was advertised that Keira Davis would be able to be on the show tonight and comment. If you don't know who Keira is, she was recently on President Obama's town hall Google Hangout. And she asked him a question, a very pointed question at that, about gun control, and he kind of fumbled all over the place. She was scheduled to call in tonight, but she had a last-minute thing come up, as we all do at some point or another, so she will not be able to join us tonight, but she said she will be glad to be on in the future, so hopefully we will have that lined up for you soon. We do, however, have David Ruffel from the Young Cons scheduled to call in later in the program, so stay tuned for that. So we've got a lot going on right now. We have a new pope coming up. We also have sequesters. We have, you know, Obama backspinning and backpedaling and turning around and doing, well, pretty much what we already expect him to do, much to the ignorance of many other people who may have voted for him. So let's get into some of the news. I'm talking about maybe some of the secular political news. The first thing is, what's up with gas prices? I'm sure we've all noticed because, well, we need to fill up our tank every now and then. You know, those of us who actually have a job and, you know, are trying to work and for a living and, you know, get by. Now we have gas prices. It's February. By me here in Virginia, it is at $3.65 a gallon. And this is from USA Today. Could 2013 gasoline prices hit record highs? Yikes! You know, and it always begs the question. It's been going up so much right now. I think it was rising, what, 33 days in a row, I believe I heard. And it's only February, and we all know that gas goes up in the summer because everyone travels, we go on vacation, and, you know, it's just one of those times. People like to be out and about, but, you know, so gas goes up. But if it's already, you know, in many parts of the country at $3.50, $3.60 a gallon, what's it going to do during the summer? And in this USA Today article, it says gasoline prices typically rise heading into peak spring and summer driving seasons, but 2013's run-up is earlier and faster than in previous years. After sending consumers into sticker shock the past month, how much more can gasoline prices climb? Another 20 to 50 cents a gallon, a level that could propel the cost of gasoline, now $3.77 a gallon, to all-time highs, some experts say. Gasoline prices typically climb from February to Memorial Day on expectations of rising consumption and costlier summer blend gas. But so far this year, prices are surging sooner and faster than ever before, up 47 cents since mid-January. That's kind of crazy. In Southern California, some people are already paying about $5.20 a gallon, up more than 75 cents since December lows. Folks, that's nuts. $5.20 a gallon? That's one of those reasons why I don't live in California. But, you know, it seems like a giant racket to me. And, of course, you know, if only we could use our own energy resources, if the environmentalist wackos would let us, then perhaps we might, you know, we wouldn't be subjected to the expectation of rising consumption. You like that? I mean, it's such a racket. It says they climb from February to Memorial Day on the expectation of rising consumption. I mean, it hasn't already happened yet, but I guess there might be some speculation, and that's understandable. But I mean, does it need to go up? Like, it's turned into this yo-yo, and it never seems to go up. You know, it used to go up maybe 2 or 3 cents at a time. At least around here by me, it goes up by 5 to 7, maybe sometimes 10 cents in one jump. So, I mean, look, and of course, Obama really doesn't take this very seriously. You know, if you might recall, in the 2008 presidential campaign, Obama even mentioned that, you know, at the time we were experiencing very high gas prices, and his concern wasn't that it was too high. His concern was that it went up too quickly. Well, isn't that nice? Thank you, Mr. President. And people have voted him into office twice now. So apparently we don't associate anything Obama, you know, says or does with this actual situation here in America. Good for him, bad for us. So, yeah, it's not that it went up too quick. It was too high. It just didn't go up gradually enough. I guess when, you know, that's the entire goal is this, you know, eco energy. And then he poured millions of dollars into companies like Solyndra that went belly up. But we're still trying to innovate the whole so-called green energy industry. And look, you know, I don't think there are many conservatives out there that are against actually finding alternative energies that work and are going to maintain the level of power that is generated from fossil fuels. But at the same time, you can't force it. You can't just pump millions into something that where it's not ready for it, you know. And to just we're sitting here on top of a huge, vast array of natural resources. And we are hogtied by environmentalist special interest groups that have the president in their back pocket. So, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous at this point. And meanwhile, it's we, the consumers, we those people who get up and work 40, 60, however many hours a week, just trying to put food on the table while we have to pay more and more for gas prices, which, you know, that makes the cost of food go up. All because some politicians want to force some green energy industry that doesn't quite exist yet. You know, it's this whole we're pawns here, and I'm not a big fan of being a pawn, and I know you aren't either. So moving on, this is kind of, you know, I have to shake my head and kind of chuckle at headlines like this. This is from CBS in Detroit. changes in tax structure creating angst among low middle class. Really? You know, and it just listen. New changes in Michigan's tax law mean many Michigan residents will be paying more taxes this year. Jason Kassab, who owns four Liberty Tax offices in Metro Detroit, said everyone from low to middle earners are finding they owe more tax or getting back less. The returns I've done, I haven't seen anyone get more than they've gotten in years past, he said. He notes that households that earn over $50,000 no longer qualify for a homestead tax credit, while those that retired early will now be paying tax on a portion of their pension. And it goes on to talk about how, you know, people are making especially more than $50,000, which in today's economy is it's decent, but you're still working hard and still trying to balance out everything that you need in order to live. So he also talks about the closing of quote unquote loopholes, and I don't like to use that term because, you know, it's been explained many times that a tax loophole is just a legal way that we can, you know, write off and make a deduction. So, you know, they call it this loophole to make it sound like we're all evil people for actually trying to, you know, work within tax law that the politicians actually, you know, voted on and wrote. But, you know, it's a way that we can keep money from the government is really what it is. So it says, if you had a public contribution of $100 last year, you'd get a $50 credit, said Kassab. This year, there is no credit whatsoever. The earned income tax credit, it's not completely gone. It was reduced from 20% to 6%. So it's, you know, all of these things are hitting the middle class and those who are struggling below the middle class level, you know, more towards the poverty line. You know, Obama claimed and promised, we've heard so many times, your taxes are not going to go up a single dime. Well, they have. Now, just a quick thing to mention here. You know, all American patriots were heartbroken when we heard the news that former U.S. Navy SEAL and combat sniper Chris Kyle had been killed at a Texas rifle range earlier this month. Of course, the circumstances were tragic, but Chris's accomplishments in the defense of our nation are legendary. Since his memory must never be forgotten, sculptor Gregory Mara is now completing a life-size bronze sculpture to be placed in permanent memoriam to Chris in Texas. Please help American patriots with this fitting tribute to an American hero. Go to gregmarastudios.net. That's G-R-E-G-M-A-R-R-A studios.net. And make a generous donation or mail what you can to Gregory Mara Studios, 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. American patriots everywhere will thank you. So we're talking about taxes and gas prices, and you know, it's the reason why I chuckle when I read stories like that is because, you know, you and I, we all knew that was coming. I mean, Obama comes in making all these lofty promises and how everything's going to be just peachy. You know, we're going to be able to go on living our lives as if nothing changed at all. And all we have to do is he's just going to raise the taxes on those rich people who just hang on to their money and don't give it to the government like they should. So, you know, we all anticipated this, but it always, you know, it's kind of darkly amusing to me anyway when I see that people are actually realizing that, yes, their lives are impacted and through the pocketbook, you know, and we have rising gas prices. That means that food gets more expensive because it's more expensive to transport. And, you know, then it ends up hurting all those people that Obama promised, swore up and down that would be just fine and peachy and we wouldn't see anything. We could just enroll in Obamacare, get free health care, free birth control, and just, you know, live off the generosity of the government because those evil rich people were now going to be paying more. Of course, you and I know it doesn't work like that, and it's pretty sad when we see the results of you know, failed policies from liberals who promise the world and then can't deliver it because they can't afford it. So anyways, we're coming up on a break here, but when we come back, I'm going to be talking about a sheriff who warned of a second American Revolution if gun grabbers get their way. We'll be talking about that when we come back. Don't go away.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the show, please call 718-305-7176. We're talking about, we've got all some great news to discuss, and we're also expecting David Ruffel from the Young Cons later in the program. So just stay tuned. We got a lot going on here. And again, love to hear your calls, your opinions. Whether or not you agree, it doesn't matter. Love to hear from you as long as we keep it clean and respectful. So this is from Infowars.com. This is from Milwaukee County. The sheriff has warned that a second American Revolution may be sparked if unconstitutional gun laws are enforced by police and sheriff's department officials. And, you know, just to comment for a second, you know, I've seen a lot recently of, you know, local sheriffs and police officers speaking out against the, you know, this gun agenda that the Democrats are pushing. A lot of them are saying that they simply would refuse to enforce laws that were passed. And, you know, I'm sitting here on the sidelines just cheering, you know, give me a bowl of popcorn and a beer, and I'd love watching this. You know, and I work at a gas station convenience store. I work the night shift. I'm one of those night creatures. And we usually have a few, you know, county deputies swing by every night as they're starting their shift. They grab a cup of coffee and whatnot. And I talk to them, and they are all adamantly against everything that, you know, the Obama and the liberals are proposing with their gun laws. And, you know, they think it's absolutely ridiculous, and they think that an informed, armed citizenry is helps them, you know, in reducing crime and also possibly preventing it, because, you know, when you hit 911, it can take several minutes, and those several minutes can be the difference between life and death. So Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee County, he urged citizens he serves to consider learning firearm safety because of a duty to protect yourself and your family. And he said, in a message posted on the sheriff's website, he wrote, "I need you in the game, but are you ready? With officers laid off and furloughed, simply calling 911 and waiting is no longer your best option. You can beg for mercy from a violent criminal, hide under the bed, or you can fight back, but are you prepared? Consider taking a certified safety course in handling a firearm so you can defend yourself until we get there. You have a duty to protect yourself and your family. We're partners now. Can I count on you?" You know, that's a great message. You know, it's saying, look, I'm here to protect and serve you, and my men are here, and we will do what we can, you know. But he says that it's sending the message that you need to take responsibility for your own safety. You can't sit there and depend on the police, the government, or anything else to provide for you what you should already be taking responsibility for. Now, of course, you know, law enforcement, I have high respect for them. They put their lives on the line at times. They're out there in the cold, wind, and rain, some, you know, keeping us safe. They can't always get there the second something's happening. So that initial responsibility is ours. And here's a sheriff who's making a stand and saying that. On the Alex Jones show yesterday, the sheriff hit home his opinions on the gun control proposals that are being pushed via presidential executive orders. He says, first of all, to me, that would be an act of tyranny. So the people in Milwaukee County do not have to worry about me enforcing some sort of order that goes out and collects everybody's handgun or rifles or any kind of firearm and makes them turn them in. The reason is I don't want to get shot, because I believe that if somebody tried to enforce something of that magnitude, you would see the second coming of an American revolution, the likes of which would make the first revolution pale by comparison. This guy doesn't hold back, folks. I really like this. He's speaking honestly, and I think we all know that if they really tried a forcible gun grab, which they claim they're not, but there's another article in a second that will reveal possibly alternative thinking. If they tried this kind of gun grab, we might see something, it could get ugly, folks, and none of us want that. We have our Second Amendment written, and Obama and the Democrats are doing all they can to subvert it, subvert the Constitution, and assert their authoritarian agenda. So this next article goes, it kind of might reveal what's going on behind the scenes here. Maybe a little oops in there. This is from the Washington Times. Sheriffs can inspect homes for safe gun storage in Washington State under Democratic weapon bill. Here we go, folks. We've been assured many times that they don't want to come get our guns. They don't want to do anything. They just want common sense solutions. But now we have this bill in Washington saying something else. Please feel free to call in. The number is 718-305-7176. Now, this new bill working through Washington State's legislature would allow local sheriffs to enter homes of gun owners to ensure their weapons are properly stored. The bill, pushed by Democrats, go figure, allows police to search where and how assault weapons are stored, as well as how safely they are stored. According to its text, listed in the state's online legislative directory as SB 5737-2013-14. The bill reads, in order to continue to possess an assault weapon that was legally possessed on the effective date of this section, the person in possession shall safely and securely store the assault weapon. The sheriff of the county may, no more than once per year, conduct an inspection to ensure compliance with this subsection. Now, it doesn't really define what safely and securely really means. It just seems like that's left open-ended. So if it's not, wrapped in chains with, padlocks and buried underground in a fireproof safe, they might deem that unsafe, and then I guess they'll want to take the weapon away or, do something that, It also says in the Examiner, the bill sponsored by Ed Murray, he said he didn't know of the provision that allowed police to go door-to-door and check for proper gun storage. There's a really simple solution to that. He says he didn't know. How about read the bill? We've seen this before. Nancy Pelosi with her famous quote saying, we have to pass Obamacare to see what's in it. Oh, so this seems to be a trend among liberals. We know these people come up there and they talk a big game. Waving their fists about whatever it is. They throw these bills, these massive bills, whether it be Obamacare or something that gives, authorizes law enforcement to go door to door and check for gun storage. Or it could be, the New York's gun law, limited magazines to 7, but they accidentally included police officers as well, who usually I believe have 10 or 11, I believe it's 10 and 12 round magazines for their guns. So reading the bill, folks, it's like a a Democrat thing now. You know, maybe they don't like to read, or maybe they don't, they'd rather not know what's in it, so then they can come up with that nice little deniability. Well, I just didn't know. How much longer are we going to put up with this, folks? These excuses, these pathetic excuses that we get. Well, I didn't know it was in there. Well, you're sitting as a representative. You vote on these issues, and you can't claim it's irresponsible and downright negligent to claim, well, you didn't know it was in the bill. Read the bills before you vote on it. I mean, maybe we need a law that forces lawmakers and legislators and representatives to read a bill, you know, before it's voted on. You know, have something where if a bill is introduced, it can't be voted on for a certain amount of time, which would give them a chance to read it. Of course, they probably still wouldn't. I mean, because, you know, Democrats, they need all deniability they can get. Because, I'd like to think that it seems that they need all this deniability because they know what they're doing. They know that their policies are disastrous and destructive, which is why they need that deniability. So it's kind of crazy that, we have this epidemic of illiteracy among Democrat lawmakers and representatives. I mean, do they know how to read? Maybe we need to go back to school or something. But it's a little bit ridiculous, and it should not be tolerated by citizens and by anybody when a politician just gets up there after passing a monstrous bill, shrugging his shoulders and saying, "Well, I didn't know." Yeah, well, we need to not know you out of office. How's that? All right. Another Democrat who definitely stuck his foot in his mouth, but unlike the Republican Todd Akin, who made this similar, you know, moronic comments, it really went unnoticed in the mainstream media. The Colorado Democratic Representative Joe Salazar, he was talking about rape, which at this point it seems we need to ban politicians from talking about it because everybody seems to just say stupid stuff. He was arguing for the disarmament of college students. He said that even if women feel like they're going to be raped, they may not. So who needs a firearm for protection? Oh, yeah, this is liberal logic 101 here. It's kind of hilarious and really, really sad. He says, it's why we have call boxes. It's why we have safe zones. It's why we have the whistles. Because you just don't know who you're going to be shooting at. And you don't know if you feel like you're going to be raped, or if you feel like someone's been following you around, or if you feel like you're in trouble when you may actually not be, that you pop out that gun and you pop around at somebody. So we have this guy talking about, he's talking about, so if you feel like you're going to be raped, you still might not, so you still don't need a gun. You can get your whistle. But it also kind of implies that women are too dumb to have a gun for their own protection. We need to give them a whistle instead. Or just put them in a... Oh, he also brought out the safe zones. Why do liberals cling to this notion of a safe zone? If someone's looking to rape someone, do you think they're going to turn away when they say, "Oh, no, they went into the safe zone. I got to get out of here. Oh, it's not only a safe zone, but it's a gun-free zone. So I got to throw my gun away and leave." Because every criminal is going to say these things. So this guy, Joe Salazar, you know, first he calls women too stupid to defend themselves with a gun, and also comes up with some moronic ideas about how to prevent rape. So, but you know, where was the media firestorm over that? Where was it? You know, we had Todd Akin, who said equally moronic things during the election last year, and the press was all over him. They tried to destroy him. But this guy, Joe Salazar, gets up, shoots his mouth off about things he obviously has no idea. He's just fumbling around for a way to keep pushing for the anti-gun agenda, and, you know, he gets a free pass. You know, and again... you know, we're all familiar with this hypocrisy and the double standard in the media. You know, and to a lot of us, it's the same old tune, different, maybe a different verse. But, you know, I think it's still our obligation to point out this hypocrisy and everything that's going on here. So we're coming up on another break, but coming up, we have David Ruffel, who will be on the program from the Young Cons. And, of course, getting to your getting to some of the more Catholic news and everything else straight ahead, including your calls. So let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And we're back, folks. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and this is the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. The call-in number, if you would like to be a part of the show and voice your opinion, is 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. Whether or not you agree, doesn't matter. I love, you know, it's great to have discussions about everything, and, you know, as long as we keep it civil and respectful and all that, love to hear from you. 718-305-7176. So we're talking about Joe Salazar, and he decided he wanted to make comments about, you know, he's pushing for the anti-gun agenda and was saying that, well, even if women feel like they're going to be raped, they still might not, so they still don't need a gun. They can just go to a safe zone and blow a whistle. So then, you know, that'll scare off the attacker when he sees that it's a safe zone, and, you know, he'll realize that it's illegal for him to perform an illegal act in the safe zone. You know, he might even throw away his gun if he sees it's a safe zone and a gun-free zone. So, you know, it's this liberal policy thinking here that just – it goes beyond belief here that, you know, something like that would actually be effective. I mean – you know, they're trying as hard as they can to push for the anti-gun agenda. They're trying as hard as they can to come up with any line of reasoning, no matter how moronic it is. So, you know, we just got to fight this and keep exposing this hypocrisy and exposing the hypocrisy of the liberal media who gave this guy a free pass after they tried to bury Todd Akin for saying his little bit. So, you know, same tune, but we're still going to expose it. I will, you know, in full disclosure, the guy did apologize. This is from the Daily Caller. Democratic Colorado State Representative Joe Salazar apologized Monday for suggesting some women are so unjustifiably afraid of being raped that they are liable to start shooting wildly. Salazar arguing in favor of dismissing college students, disarming college students, said Friday on the Colorado House floor that women fearing rape may suddenly and haphazardly pop around at someone. So, in all fairness, at least he apologized, but it's still frustrating that, you know, he got this free pass from the media. He's apologized, and now it's blowing over. You know, of course, we all know if it was a Republican, on the other hand, that made a similarly moronic comment, and, well, that happened already, Todd Akin, then apologies aren't enough. No matter what he does isn't enough. They want resignations. They want, you know, they want this person blacklisted, you know, shut down completely from any kind of political career. You know, all the Democrats, they line up, you know, in opposition if someone makes a even remotely stupid comment on the Republican side. But when it's one of their own, hey, he apologized, right? It's okay. Let's keep going here. He's still towing the line. He's still trying to disarm college students. So, you know, he's A-okay. I don't know what kind of accent that was, but it was just kind of happened naturally. So just go with it, all right? Anyways, another thing here as we move along is Obama lays the framework for purge of online opponents. This is from The Examiner, and this directly affects, anyone who, I guess it might be someone who goes on radio, internet talk show and starts criticizing the Obama administration. But it says, under the guise of curbing the, quote, radicalization of U.S. citizens and identifying and purging potentially violent persons from the Internet, the White House has initiated the creation of a new interagency working group to address what it calls a growing problem. You ever notice with Obama and the Democrats, everything's always so urgent, or it's a growing problem that we need to be concerned. It's always critical, or it's always, we need to act now, or else everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket. So it's this radicalization of U.S. citizens that is a growing problem, according to the White House. The White House issued a fact sheet delineating the broad objectives of the plan. The interagency group will be headed by Quinton Wiktorix. I have no idea how to say that. Gave it my best shot, all right? The current White House Senior Director for Community Partnerships on the National Security Staff. Oh, he's a community organizer. How cute. The new group will be called the Interagency Working Group to Counter Online Radicalization. Wow, I don't even know what acronym they come up with for that. And will be charged with the implementation of an Internet safety program to address online violent extremism. Folks, do you all see where this is going? 718-305-7176. It sounds like it's going to be, you know, not so much for extremists, but, oh, I don't know, conservatives, Tea Party, pro-life people. You know, they're setting it up. This guy whose name I can't pronounce, Wiktorowicz, stated, violent extremist groups like Al-Qaeda and its affiliates and adherents, violent supremacist groups, and violent, quote, sovereign citizens, I don't like that, are leveraging online tools and resources to propagate messages of violence and division. These groups use the Internet to disseminate propaganda, identify and groom potential recruits, and supplement their real-world recruitment efforts. Some members and supporters of these groups visit mainstream fora to see whether individuals might be recruited or encouraged to commit acts of violence. Look for opportunities to draw targets into private exchanges and exploit popular media like music videos and online video games. Although the Internet offers countless opportunities for Americans to connect, it has also provided violent extremists with access to new audiences and instruments for radicalization. Now, this is disturbing. You know, we understand that radical Muslims hate us simply because we exist and work hard to find ways to disrupt, you know, disrupt our nation in any way possible through, you know, cyber attacks or through, you know, terrorist attacks, whatever it is. We get that. We get that we need to, you know, have a high level of alertness in order to prevent innocent people from being killed like they were on 9/11. But the article goes on. It says, if Wiktorowicz were referring exclusively to terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda, then no red flags would be raised whatsoever concerning the new program. But he never specified nor defined terms such as violent supremacist groups or violent sovereign citizens. The Obama administration has already caused the alarm bells to ring on several occasions as the Department of Homeland Security, oh, that's our favorite one on this show, released several internal memos referring to conservative Christians who believe the Bible, pro-life citizens who are against abortion, Tea Party activists, and political conservatives who believe in a strict adherence to the U.S. Constitution as potential homegrown terrorists. Like I said, folks, they're going at, they don't like people who disagree with them. Obama doesn't like to be challenged. He doesn't like to be held accountable. He doesn't like to be exposed. And he's now laying the groundwork on many different accounts to go after those who are actually doing that. You know, he just wants to be able to roll in and, you know, propagate his agenda, his propaganda, and have everyone roll over and play dead. He doesn't want opposition. And the Tea Party, conservatives, everyone that they listed are a big thorn in his side because we are not going to shut up. We're not going to sit down. But now they're coming out with this. They're laying the legal ground framework to call us homegrown terrorists. You know, that term, violent sovereign citizens. Name one Tea Party event. Name one, I ask you, where there was violence created by actual people there, Tea Partiers. Please tell me. 718-305-7176. I want to know. Tell me. Now, make sure to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You've probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. Better watch out, dude. That alone means he fits right in here. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So we're talking about, you know, how we have this new group, the Interagency Working Group to Counter Online Radicalization, that is going after, quote, violent sovereign citizens. But I, like I asked before, tell me one Tea Party event that involved violence. You know, I can't think of any. You know, the Tea Party rallies were concerned citizens that came together, didn't trash the place, unlike, oh, I don't know, Occupy Wall Street. It's like when those protests were going on every single day, I saw, you know, we all did articles about, you know, people getting arrested, people defecating in the street, you know, on cars. It was filthy. And when they were finally removed, by the police, the places they quote unquote occupied were disgusting, absolutely disgusting. So again, I want to know, where is all this violence, you know, from the Tea Party and from those who say, hey, wait a minute, we have a constitution, we have, you know, a framework that was handed to us by the people that created this nation, and yet the government's turning around and calling us violent sovereign citizens, extremists. Well, that's very, very convenient for them. You know, it's crazy. So again, you know, I don't appreciate being leveled an extremist just because I'm going to criticize the Obama administration, and I'm going to do it over public, you know, on the internet. I guess they're, you know, I guess they're going to be coming after me then. But, you know, it's crazy that we should even have to think like that. Got to take a quick break. More after this. Don't go away.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
You must be
your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, and I am Chris Ricketts, your host. We are talking about the hypocrisy of the media, you know, Tea Partiers being labeled as violent, you know, domestic citizens. And, you know, it's really kind of scary when you see what is going on here, the framework they're setting up, you know, in order to, you know, persecute and all of what we're doing here. And you know, it just makes me worry just a little bit. And you know, we see that, of course, the Department of Homeland Security, you know, involved in this. You know, they've been arming themselves to the teeth. And I've talked extensively about that in previous shows. You know, that it's like they're gearing up, setting the framework for a serious, you know, situation here in the United States, you know, going after its own citizens. So, you know, I think we need to be very vigilant here, you know, make sure that we are paying attention to what is going on, because an informed citizenry is exactly what Obama and the liberals don't want. You know, we should all be paying attention to Hollywood and Kim Kardashian and what's going on with, American Idol. So, you know, in that case, it's distracted from actually what is going on, because I mean, most of the Democrats, apparently, it seems like they don't know what's going on either, because they don't even read bills. It's just it turns into a giant excuse. But you know, it's really kind of scary what is going on here, laying that groundwork to go after conservatives and Tea Partiers because they're potential homegrown terrorists. For what? Speaking out? For pointing out Obama's hypocrisy? You know, it's – and in this article here on the Examiner, it points out, too, that although the United States itself was born directly from armed and, quote, violent resistance to government tyranny as represented by the British Empire at the time, in today's climate, such ideas are viewed by elitist educators, historians, and politicians as dangerous extremism. Thomas Jefferson, the nation's third president, would more than likely be deemed a homegrown terrorist in modern America with his well-publicized view that the federal government needs to be purged every generation or so with an armed insurrection aimed at ridding the government of anyone who undermines individual liberty and the rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Uh-oh, Thomas Jefferson, homegrown terrorist, throw him in jail. 718-305-7176. Be glad to hear from you with your thoughts and opinions. We have another story here that it cracked me up, so I had to bring it out. A Lehigh University student sues over grade and seeks $1.3 million. Yep. Hey, if you don't like your grade, go to court. And then sue them for millions so you can be rich on top of it. That's the real American dream. Oh, it's pathetic. Megan Thode isn't the first Lehigh University student who was unhappy with the grade she received in the course. But she may be the first to sue to get it changed. The C-plus that Thode was given scuttled her dream of becoming a licensed professional counselor and was part of an effort to force her out of the graduate degree program she was pursuing, said her lawyer, whose lawsuit seeks $1.3 million in damages. Aww. Boo-hoo! So I have to throw this in here. It's hilariously sad. The lawyer says that the client is a victim of breach of contract and sexual discrimination, and a civil trial began Monday before Northampton County Judge over the claims. They're nonsense, said Neil Hamburg, an attorney for Lehigh University. You know, how about you try working harder? You know, of course, they throw in sexual discrimination in there, too, just to boot, because, you know, that gets attention. Forget when it might actually happen, and that when you make stupid claims like that, it just cheapens the real occurrences of what might go on. You know, this just struck me as, like, what an entitlement mentality. Well, I showed up, and I wanted to do this, be in this degree program, and I needed the grade, and I didn't get it, so now I'm going to sue. Wah. 27 years old. She thinks that she can, you know, hold out her hand and life be given to her. You got to work for it, sweetheart. You know, that's what you got to do. And you know, that's why I like the ideals of conservatism. We work for our own, you know, we support ourselves. We rely on ourselves and our neighbors. You know, we don't stick out our hand to the government or anybody else. And if we don't get our way, we don't throw a temper tantrum and, you know, lawyer up and, you know, go to court trying to get our way. It's really, you know, that's it. That's an entitlement mentality right there. And that's what we're fighting here in this country. You know, there is more, though, because in McCall.com, Lehigh Valley's newspaper, The Morning Call, she did lose the lawsuit, which is good, which gives me maybe a particle of hope in at least some part of the justice system here in America. The county judge ruled that the university, in fact, did not discriminate against her or breach of contract. You think? A Northampton County judge on Thursday rejected. Oh, looks like we have a call here. Let's bring you on. Hello,
hi,
sir.
Chris.
Hi, this is Chris. Who's this?
Hi, Chris. This is David Ruffle. How are you?
Hey, David Ruffle. Thanks for calling in. Folks, I was telling you about him earlier. This is David Ruffle from the Young Cons. They are an awesome dynamic duo, hip-hopsters, and, you know, I don't know if I said the right term there. I'm an old guy. You'll have to excuse me. But
yeah.
Thanks for calling in. How's it going?
Thank you very much for having me. You know, I'm excited to be on, and you know, I think that's a fair enough statement. We are two guys that went to an Ivy League school, and we decided to form a rap group, and we're two kind of white guys in suits rapping, and it's supposed to be funny and ironic, but we do take issues seriously, especially our faith and our political positions, and so, yeah, I'm happy to be here, and thanks a lot for having me.
All right, David. Well, so you guys graduated, though, right? You're out now and, you know, taking on the world?
Right. Last spring, we graduated, so I do it with my best friend. He's down in Texas right now, and I'm currently in Rhode Island, and we're doing some other things right now, but we're still trying to be involved, and we still work with our website a lot, and so we're doing some different things now, but we're happy that school's over at least.
Well, absolutely. Good to get out of the out of the academic rigors.
Right.
So when you first started the Young Cons, you know, you're going to this school, Ivy League. Did you what were people's reactions when you came out with that first video?
Well, at the time we had a Facebook group with 300 people in it, and it was basically just our friends, and we thought it'd be fun and unique to make a rap song, because we're both on the basketball team and we'd travel on the bus and write down some lyrics, and we thought it was funny. And I mean, I think you can imagine on a liberal college campus, it's you know, it's crazy for Obama there, and the students just really fell in love with him in 2008, we thought. And
mm-hmm.
so we made this for to sort of promote our group on Facebook, which was called The Young Conservatives or The Young Cons. And we didn't expect it to sort of go viral, and it ended up doing that, and we ended up going on a couple of television shows for it. But, you know, really, I think that our friends were pretty supportive of it, but it definitely irritated some people, and because, you know, we're taking a stance on controversial issues.
Absolutely. Then did you get any pushback from faculty? Did anyone try to shut you down or anything like that? Or was it just more like a ridicule kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I think that basically the campus is really kind of open-minded and embracive. So I think that, you know, our friends were pretty supportive. And, you know, I did have a professor who would talk to me about it, and I think we were in the school newspaper, so a lot of people didn't know about it, but nobody was, you know, overcritical.
Oh, that's really good. You know, I've seen you guys on definitely on Fox, and I've enjoyed your videos, definitely. I think it's important, too, because what you've done is you've taken, you know, kind of a popular music style, and you've turned it into a way to, you know, an entertaining way to reach out that conservative message. I think it's a great way to engage in, you know, conversation, and it reaches people on a level they can, you know, connect to.
Right. That's pretty much our goal. And, you know, rap music allows you to get across a lot of information in a short amount of time. So when you're, you know, talking about political issues and stuff, I think it can come in handy in saying a lot of different things pretty quickly. And it's fun. And, you know, we haven't been trying to be rap stars since we were 5 years old. You know, we were just doing this for fun, you know, and we understand the irony and all that comes along with it.
Absolutely. So you said you guys are doing other things right now. What you got going on?
So right now, we do run our website, and I would encourage people to go to it. It's just called theyoungcons.com or Young Cons, and that's cons as in conservative. And right now, our biggest thing is we're running a contest right now where we're giving away 5 copies to the 5 winners of the contest, and the prize is a signed copy of Greg Gutfeld, his new New York Times bestseller, The Joy of Hate, and he was nice enough to donate those to us, and his publisher was nice enough to host the contest on our site. So that's one thing we do, but also on our site, we have 10 bloggers there who write, and it's all young people who are on Twitter and Facebook and new media online, and they'll just write about what matters to them and why, and it's basically just a fun time. And, you know, we have also brainstorm new ideas for videos. And also, in terms of the videos, I'm in a contest right now on the Blaze TV, which is run by Glenn Beck, and Vince Vaughn joined him to do a documentary contest, and I'm down, I'm in the finalists for that contest. So those are some things we're working on.
Oh, that's great. That's really exciting. Vince Vaughn, and well, that. Nice to get Hollywood in on maybe something like this, too, every now and then.
Right. Yeah. So pretty much we're branching out and looking for fun ways, and we're always trying to be involved. And, you know, this is a documentary about an off-campus independent newspaper that was at our college, and it's called the Dartmouth Review. And so we're pitching this idea, and the winner of the contest has allocated funds to actually create the documentary. So, you know, that's a fun project that we have going on.
Absolutely. But you do have some more rap videos coming out, right?
That's our goal. I mean, it's been difficult in terms of, you know, we're trying to start a career, and we obviously have to, you know, make money and pay off student loans and things like
that.
But at the same time, on our free time, we try to do as much as we can for the conservative movement, as we call it.
Oh, absolutely. It is a conservative movement. You know, we've got the Tea Partiers, and sometimes I like to make that sometimes it is a little bit different than sometimes what the establishment Republicans might be talking about. So anyways, look, I got to take a quick break, David, but can you hang on for another segment?
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. And folks, we'll be right back after this. More with David Ruffel of the Young Cons after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back, folks. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, please feel free to give a call at 718-305-7176. We have David Ruffel on the phone with us, and he is one of the founding members of the Young Cons, a dynamic duo that spreads the conservative message through hip-hop and connects with the younger folks. Hello, David, and we're back again.
Hi, yes, thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
All right, thank you. Look, I want to talk to you about, something I think about, and, I'm only 31, but it's been a little while since I've been in school, and, since I got out, that's when Facebook and everything really exploded. I still used a payphone in high school to call my parents to pick me up from lacrosse practice. But, where do you think the conservative message is disconnecting with younger folks? Because, everyone fell in love with Obama on face value. How can the conservative party reach out and better articulate that message to younger people?
Right. I think you make a good point about the media and how things are changing. I know when I was younger, we'd have about maybe 50 different channels on the television, and now these days some people have hundreds of different channels on their television, and now they're coming out with Apple TV and Roku players and different television methods that allow you to have, basically allow anyone to start a television show on their computers with cameras, and you have people hosting radio shows on the internet, and you have people creating websites, and pretty much everyone out there is just able to become the media now. And so information is just streamlined to the point where anyone can have access to it and anyone can be the media, and truth is discovered in a way that it never has been done before. So it's very exciting. And I think the future will just be an opportunity for people to discover truth. And I think that when younger people have this access in the future, I think that they'll see, they have a lot of these emotional tendencies to have a really big heart and want to, stop global warming and fix, major difficult problems in our society. But then they'll see some of the reasoning behind different ideas of conservatism and learn to hopefully accept it into their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I guess you're right when you say that, it's through social media and a lot of the technology and ways. That seems to be something a lot of folks, especially high school, college, they really latch on to, the cell phone and the social media and everything. So I see what you're saying with that is a great way to get conservatism across. But how do you think we can counteract what they're hearing in the classroom and maybe from their home and everything else?
Yeah, I think my honest answer for that would just be we need conservatives to get involved and to become professors and to go to Hollywood and get involved there and to, you know, get involved in their communities in different ways. And I think a lot of conservatives get involved in a lot of businesses, which is so important because that makes America run. But I think we need to branch out a little bit and be a little daring and really stand up for what you believe in and vocalize a true message of a true conservative and Christian message. And I think that hopefully that will come across to people. But, you know, ultimately, I think younger people will have to make this decision for themselves and it can't be forced upon them. And you just have to articulate it as clearly as possible.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. Folks, you're listening to David Ruffel of the Young Cons. And if you want to be on the show, please give a call at 718-305-7176. David and his friend, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
Josh.
Josh Riddle, I'm sorry.
Yep.
They've created several rap videos that articulate conservatism. So anyways, David, as you have... you know, you've created rap videos, you've got bloggers going. Where do you see the Young Cons moving ahead as a whole?
Our goal right now is sort of to relocate so we're closer together. Right now we're sort of on opposite ends of the country, and I have visited him. And our goal is to relocate. So we're applying for jobs right now. And I think once we're able to do that, we can sort of take our little production to another level. And you know, that's sort of our goal on the side. And at the same time, we're just trying to do as many different things to get involved and branch out. And, you know, we just want to help out as many different groups out there, and that's why we're hosting some contests on our site. And, you know, that's why I encourage people to visit our site as well.
Absolutely. So you and Josh are on the basketball team, right?
Right, that's correct.
So how'd you guys do? Was it a good team?
So we actually met after we both graduated high school. We did an additional year at a prep school in the Northeast, and so we met there. And we both decided to attend the same school, the same college, and so we both committed to Dartmouth College. And then we both played on the basketball team there, and we really struggled once we got to college. We had 3 different head coaches, 10 different assistant coaches, over 20 of our teammates quit. So it was really
wow.
A rebuilding program, but you know, it taught us a lot of invaluable lessons that, you know, I think sometimes you don't always get in the classroom. And so leadership and teamwork are things, and, you know, friendship with our teammates. And I think we had a great experience, and I think we'll really treasure it.
That's awesome. Do you guys still you still find time for some hoops every now and then?
Right. Well, my friend Josh is 6'9", so he's really tall and dominating figure. And
absolutely.
I'm 6'4", so we'll play for fun pretty much in local leagues. And I had an opportunity after I graduated to go to Dubai, and I played over there against some professionals just for a week. And kind of tried out with some pro teams. But I think my life is sort of going in a different direction than basketball. And, you know, I'm really passionate about our group and what we stand for. So.
Oh, that's great. No, it's always good to have that, you know, physical outlet, especially, you know, when you got when you're dealing with many things on all fronts.
Right.
In some of your videos, you know, it would be cool to see some, you know, you've had guests on there before and you've featured different people. You know, what have you gone after any bigger names to come in there?
So in terms of rapping and joining us, We're starting to build some relationships with different people out there, especially some younger people, and we're trying to build relationships with also some, you know, alums of our college and different people that they know. But it's always kind of been just the two of us, and we're the core of the movement, and we're really, really passionate about it. So I'm not really sure who else we can bring involved, but I know for our documentary, just recently I went to New York City and I interviewed Dinesh D'Souza, who you know, made the Obama 2016 movie. And so we're starting to build some different relationships out there, and it's been a fun time, basically.
Oh, that's great. No, it's always good to see what you can do. I mean, you start one of these things and you don't know where it's going to go. You know, I started this show basically just, you know, on a whim. I was personally very frustrated by the HHS mandate that came out, you know, forcing Catholics and Christians to violate their consciences, and I said, enough is enough, we got to do something. And then it join up with Conservative Nation Radio, and it things really go places. And, you know, I'm really inspired by what you do, especially because, you know, you guys, your two guys have just got together and you have some musical talent. You know, you play basketball and you're able to articulate that conservative message and reach people in a way they can understand.
Right.
So,
and I was just going to say, you know, I think that, you know, it doesn't really take a lot these days either. You know, Josh and I sort of went to the library and rented out a video camera and kind of spoke into the laptop we had in terms of a microphone for these rap songs. So really we had nothing, and it was the result of individual responsibility and initiative and, you know, self-reliance. And so I think that, you know, sometimes people feel like they don't have the right resources or they can't do it, but really they should try and they should stand up for truth, because if they don't, ultimately, you know, truth will dissipate and fall apart, and, you know, society will struggle.
Absolutely. You know, like I mentioned before, I'm a Catholic conservative. I try to form my political opinions and everything based on my faith. So, but like I mentioned before, my biggest issue, what really ticked me off, was the HHS mandate. What's your thing? You know, what's the one thing that you feel the most passionate about that, you know, that I guess you're working either to counteract, or is there like a specific issue that you really feel passionate about? What's your driving force there?
I think this is sort of connected to the HHS mandate. I think, you know, I sort of agree in terms of, and this is connected in terms of the pro-life movement, and, you know, if you do believe these are individuals, you know, you do realize that we're committing a horrible act, and, you know, our society is basically barbaric, and future generations will look back at us and call us barbarians for what we're doing, because, you know, science will show that, you know, these are individuals and they have a right to their life. So, I mean, that definitely ticks. That definitely, you know, is what makes my heart tick a lot of times. And I'm extremely passionate about that. But really, there are just so many issues. And I really believe that a lot of them are connected in so many ways. It's so difficult to choose. But I think standing up for life is a huge one, for sure.
Absolutely. No, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think science is already pretty much shown. It's a matter of just allowing the hearts to really see, you know, and I think that's part of what we're you know, working on here too, is there's sometimes there can be a huge disconnect between what we intellectually know and what, you know, our hearts are telling us. Yeah, I don't want to get all wishy-washy on you, but, you know, right. I think a lot of times, you know, liberals and conservatives, you know, I haven't heard a liberal or conservative usually, you know, that really wants people to suffer. You know, I think we have that common ground in that we want to help people. We don't want to see suffering. We don't want to see poor people. It's just the means by which we go about, you know, helping the means by which we do those things is different. You know, liberals like government, big government, and, you know, we're about, you know, just you and me and the guy down the street maybe going and donating time at a homeless shelter or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, any understanding of the history of liberty and what our founders believed, you know, they, all of them accepted the idea that people needed to be helped, especially those who are disadvantaged and either struggling with a disability or in poverty. And there's certainly ways to help people, but government isn't always the answer, for sure.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, Catholic Church teaching, you know, I'll throw that out there too, is, you know, says keep it as local as possible, you know, and at the very, you know, the micro level, because that's where, you know, we can make the most effective changes. You know, if bureaucrats in Washington aren't going to be able to really help out in Montana, you know, that family that just lost a job and now needs a home, you know, keep it at the local level, and that's where it's the most effective.
Right. Not only, I 100% agree, and from a Christian perspective, not only is it most effective on the individual level, but there's also morality when you make your own decisions and choose to help your neighbor versus using forceful government taxation and distribution. There's also no morality in that.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Well, David, I got about a minute before my break, and before I close with you, what any last things you want to get out to this audience on Conservative Nation Radio?
Well, I think that I would just encourage people to get involved, and not only to get involved, but also to keep reading and arm yourself with the facts and be ready to be, you know, sort of apologetic for your beliefs and your faith, because, you know, there are people out there that are fighting just as hard for ideas that are that will really, I think, destroy our country in many ways.
Absolutely. Well, David, it's been really great to have you on the show, and you know, seeing what you guys are doing, it gives me a lot of faith. I admire what you're doing. So, you know, please keep your heads up, and you know, we'll all keep you in our prayers. And you know, I really want to see you guys succeed and do big things.
Thank you very much. God bless, and thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Dave. You have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to turn to the Catholic side of things when we come back. So conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
And we're back, folks. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and the call-in number, if you want to call in and be a part of the program, is 718-305-7176. We were just talking with David Ruffel of the Young Cons, and him and his partner, Josh Riddle, have produced several rap videos that they very well articulate conservative ideals, and I really admire what they're doing, and I thought it was a great conversation I just had with David, and you know, it gives me some hope to know that they're you know, they just graduated college, Dave and Josh just did, and it gives me hope to know that there are folks going out there in the world that are, you know, passionate like they are, and promoting the conservative ideals. That really is encouraging to me. So let's move on to some more religious side of things. Now, this story, I have to admit, kind of ticked me off, and I will get to that. First, I want to say that I'm a Catholic. I believe in the teachings of the Church, And I accept that wholeheartedly, although some of you may not know that Catholics aren't required to absolutely believe every and accept every little thing the church teaches. Now, there are some things where it's a doctrinal issue, and on those occasions, yes, we are required to accept that teaching, whether it's – and I'm talking like the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist or the church's stance on abortion or homosexual marriage and those things. But there are certain opinions that the church may give that Catholics don't have to agree on, and I'm going to take my take an opportunity here to disagree with something that came out of the Virginia Catholic Conference. This is kind of a spokesperson organization for the two bishops, the two dioceses in Virginia, Arlington and Richmond, and they're here. They say support Medicaid expansion. Timely Medicaid expansion for Virginia's uninsured is imperative. And this is from their website, capwiz.com. I'm not sure. Okay, anyway. The Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act incentivizes states to expand the class of Medicaid recipients to include those at or below 133% of the poverty level. That's $30,657 for a family of four in 2012. With the federal government covering 100% of the cost until 2017, gradually falling to 90% of cost by 2020. Now, the Virginia Catholic Conference supports increased access to health care. Expanding Medicaid, as enabled by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, would provide more than 400,000 uninsured Virginians with access to health care. The budget passed by the Senate includes an amendment to expand Medicaid starting in January 2014, contingent on federal approval of proposed Medicaid reforms to reduce costs and improve efficacy. You know, I'm going to have to stop there. I mean, there's not a whole lot in Obamacare and all of these things that are actually reducing cost of anything. I just recently saw an article about how this pool of money for those who are high risk is already drying up. They're almost out of money by like March 2nd. They're not going to be able to take any more quote unquote high risk or pre-existing condition people to insure. So now we have the Virginia Catholic Conference is calling for the expansion of Medicaid. Because they want those people to be, you know, look, Catholic social teaching calls on all of us. Christ called on all of us to generously give to the poor, give of ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But the Catholic Church and a lot of Catholics get confused with Catholic social teaching, oh, and say big government and socialism. There's a difference. And for the Virginia Catholic Conference to sit there and just say, well, we need expanded Medicaid. Do they not know that we're already broke? That Obamacare is bankrupting the nation? That it's unsustainable? That it's like this maybe short-term solution that won't last very long, but which has dire consequences. So I'm questioning whether the Virginia Catholic Conference can actually support this. You know, it's almost like, you know, and I've talked about this before where, you know, a lot of Catholics in the name of quote-unquote social justice and in the name of church social teaching advocate for big government. They advocate for, you know, all these social programs. Oh, just get the people on Medicare, Medicaid, or food stamps or whatever. And then it's like shirking the responsibility of stewardship. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have any government program at all. But I'm saying I think it would be great to keep it more localized, as I mentioned to David in our conversation. You know, instead of bureaucrats from Washington allotting money at a federal level, allow communities, towns, and states to come up with their own programs, and a lot of them have. But big government is not always the issue. Big government is not we can't sustain the big government that we have now that Obama has created. You know, we have this, you know, vast welfare state that has developed, And it's not promoting a good quality of life. You know, living off of government, the scraps that the government tosses you from their you know, abundant table is not enough to sustain anyway. And I'm disappointed that the Virginia Catholic Conference is, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say shirking the responsibility of stewardship, but at least just passing the buck a little bit to the government. I'll just expand Medicaid. That's not going to solve the long-term problem. And, you know, I don't want to question people's motives because, you know, Christians, conservatives, even liberals, we all want to help people. But expanding government and spending more and more and more money is not, I don't believe it's a true nature of charity. Getting on a government program to live on breadcrumbs, you know, that's not thriving, that's barely surviving. And yet the Virginia Catholic Conference is here calling for the expansion of Medicaid. You know, it's just sad. What government intervention should we see? And I mentioned this in previous shows that, you know, why not give more incentives to people, tax incentives, to donate more of their money? Allow churches and charitable organizations that, you know, that are geared towards helping people, give them more leeway to maneuver. You know, the government doesn't like competition, which is what it all boils down to. The government doesn't like that there are they don't like that there are people competing to help other people. I mean, in the Democrats' world, I mean, I wouldn't bet that there's a thought process out there that if they can just get rid of all these charitable organizations you know, churches and whatnot, and just get everyone on the government dole, you know, then they can really have the concentrated power. But because if churches are helping people and if charitable organizations are helping people, then the government's not doing it, and so the government doesn't have control over those people. But anyways, you know, to look at Catholic social teaching as a means of expanding government and as a means of growing the welfare state, I don't necessarily think that's the best you know, way to actually help people. What's your opinion? 718-305-7176. We're talking about how the Virginia Catholic Conference is calling for the expansion of Medicaid through the Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is a laughable name. The you know, attack the patient with huge high costs Care Act, and you know, now we have the Catholic Conference, you know, and it's very common for you know, like I said, Catholics, you know, who tend to be more liberal, to confuse social justice with socialism, which has never worked. It spreads misery on a more or less equal basis, but nobody should be living off the breadcrumbs of, you know, what the government's tossing them. That's not a way of living. Now, do programs have a place? I believe so, you know, but I think that we can reduce the amount of overall government spending if we allow churches and charitable organizations to play a bigger hand. Not that liberals and Democrats would actually let that happen, because it reduces their the amount of power that they have. So, you know, here's one instance where I disagree with at least what this group is saying. You know, it's the Virginia Catholic Conference. It's a lobbying group. You know, they lobby on behalf of the two dioceses in Virginia, Arlington and Richmond. But you know, true charity, I think, comes from personal involvement. It comes from the heart, and but Jesus told us, you know, give generously. He told the rich man, give everything you own and then come follow me. He didn't say give it to the government so they can redistribute according to what they determined to be appropriate. It was just, you know, give it to the poor. I mean, government likes to be this you know, in between kind of organization between you and our money. It's like, well, we're too dumb to give our money to where it would make the most effect. So we need to, the government's going to come and take it first and then redistribute it. So, you know, true charity is actual, it comes from the heart. And when we rely on social programs and when we rely on the government, it's like we're abdicating our charitable responsibilities. If we just, oh, why should I give money? They can go get on a government program. Well, that defeats the whole purpose of charity. You know, if you've ever struggled financially, if you've ever been in a boat where you're facing eviction or you're behind on your mortgage, you know how much it means when someone just gives you a little bit, maybe not money, but some food, or gives your kid a ride to school, or maybe fills your gas tank up for you. It's those little tiny things that we can do for each other. We can reach out in our communities and actually make an impact here, where it'll be the most effective. Now, I got to take a quick break, but there is going to be more. I got more news on the Catholic side, maybe something else I might disagree with too. Don't tell anyone though. More after this. Don't go away.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Wait. Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold
What'd
on.
What'd you say?
Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Confusion over someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
And we're back and having a blast, folks. This is Chris Ricketts, your host of the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. The call-in number, and I'd love to hear from you, is 718-305-7176. I was just talking about how the Virginia Catholic Conference now is supporting the expansion of Medicaid, much to what I believe their error. You know, supporting big government is, it's not going to be a true act of charity because it leads to our financial ruin in the future. So, you know, I have to personally disagree with what the Virginia Catholic Conference is saying here. Moving on in other news, there is something else I'm going to have to disagree with Cardinal Dolan on in a little bit. But please let me say that don't take me. I totally accept the teachings of the Church, but I am not required to believe some of the ways in which they go about promoting social justice and everything else. So, anyways, this from Ireland. They are fighting a huge abortion battle in Ireland right now as politicians and activists are trying to legalize abortion throughout Ireland. And, there's a huge battle going on right now. And I've been, you know, it's amazing to see how it's all playing out. According to Ireland experts, abortion doesn't help women contemplating suicide. I never really thought to make that connection either. I don't know about you. 718-305-7176. So a woman, pregnant woman who's contemplating suicide has an abortion, and poof, she's better. I guess that's what they were trying to say. And the article says, this is from lifenews.com. As the people of Ireland continue to stand strong against legalized abortion, Irish politicians seem desperate to find any way possible to force abortion through the legislature. After the tragic death of Savita Halappanavar, that's one of those names that, you know, last October, pro-abortion politicians and activists thought a broad media campaign filled with unsubstantiated propaganda demonizing the Catholic Church and those who work to protect the sanctity of life would finally overturn Ireland's pro-life laws. But leaked excerpts from a report on the death of Mrs. Halappanavar show that a misdiagnosed and mistreated infection, not lack of an abortion, caused her death. So they were trying to say that if only she had an abortion, she'd still be with us today. I guess that's one way to do it. Now, some in the Irish government are planning to legalize abortion by linking lack of access to abortion to suicide in women. Wow, that's a real stretch. Recent government hearings held by the joint, I'm not going to try to say it, something committee or health on health and children produced evidence from leading medical experts on this issue showing that abortion is never a treatment for suicide and that abortion could even cause women to become more suicidal. So that kind of backfired. Look, I get it. I know that there are women that find out they're pregnant at the absolute worst possible time. They get kicked out of their home by their parents. You know, I know it can be quite a serious issue. So, anyways, it goes on to say that there are six key points in what they were trying to say. The first is all of the medical experts agreed that abortion is never a treatment for suicidality. Two, none of knew of a case where an abortion was the only treatment for a woman who was suicidal. None knew of a case where a woman has died by suicide because abortion was not available. Senior psychiatrists testified that abortion would be completely obsolete in respect of a person who was extremely suicidal. Evidence was given that abortion can actually increase the risk of suicide. Yeah, don't let the NARAL people hear about that one. They might flip out and I don't know. Number six, the last one, experts confirm that suicide in pregnancy is very rare and that treatment for suicidality included providing safety, nursing, psychological treatment, and medication. So, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, the defenders of life in Ireland are standing strong and really just bashing down all of the fake arguments that the liberals over in Ireland, in their lawmakers are trying to, you know, force whatever they can, coming up with as many excuses, and it's just being battered down by scientific evidence. Although around here in this country, it's a shame that no matter how much evidence may be produced in support of something, you know, emotionally liberals aren't, well, usually aren't ready to concede a point or part with maybe one of the facets of their ideology. Please feel free to call in 718-305-7176. You know, we're talking about on the religious side of things, and you know, it's just this battle in Ireland. I'm glad to see it. We need to keep fighting over here, where abortion unfortunately has been legal for quite some time now, and you know, it's a sad state where we are right now. So, anyways, we're going to move on here in just a second. I'm not quite at a break yet, so I got time. Good. All right. Anyways, so we're talking about the religious news, and in this one, this is from Life Site News, another one of my favorite religious news sites. In a U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops letter, USCCB, the Obama administration has a new, more grudging attitude toward people of faith. Not that this is a shocker for all of you good American conservatives who, you know, consider faith to be an important part of life. It says that if the U.S. Catholic bishops cannot rely on the president to protect religious liberty. They will instead lobby Congress. That's the message of a letter written to Congress by Archbishop William E. Lurie, lobbying for two legal provisions on behalf of the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops. Lurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, wrote members of Congress to support two measures, sections 537 and 538 of the Labor HHS Appropriations Bill. One would effectively gut the HHS mandate by saying those with religious objections may not be forced to provide for abortion, sterilization, or contraceptives in language similar to last year's Blunt Amendment. The other exempts individuals or institutions from participating in abortion or abortion training on religious grounds. Eh, that sounds a bit better, huh? I like that. That's good. It's good that they're trying to find any way they can. The Archbishop tracks the history of similar conscience exemptions reaching from Bill Clinton and Democratic U.S. Senator Pat Moynihan back to a 1973 amendment sponsored by ultra-liberal Democrat Frank Church. He was a supporter of abortion on demand. It can hardly be said that all these presidents and congresses of both parties had been waging a war on women, he wrote, skewering the Obama administration's narrative that conscience protections constituted the oppression of women. They love to. He sees at work a new, more grudging attitude in recent years towards citizens whose faith or moral principles are not in accord with the views of the current governing power. You know, and I think he's dead on here because it just boils down to the simple fact that Obama and his administration and the liberals in Congress don't like opposition. So they will demonize, twist facts, lie, and do whatever they can to get rid of all of the opposition so their agendas can go unopposed. And that's exactly what we are fighting to prevent here on Conservative Nation Radio and the Tea Party and among conservatives everywhere. You know, the assault on religious freedom is real. And, you know, I'm glad to see some some of the bishops at least trying to find a way to completely gut the HHS mandate. So at least there's one thing I'll agree with them on that. You know, I'll give them props where I think it's deserved. So anyways, you'd probably never guess that there are conservative headbangers. If you want proof, just ask our own Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for Things Not Seen at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll. Things Not Seen with Christopher Manti, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. All right, folks. So we're talking about some church issues right now, and this from LifeSite News: 26 states opt out of Obamacare's state-run insurance exchanges. You know, it's exciting, really, to see states actually saying, "No, we're not going to do that." Thanks for the law, though. Despite the Obama administration urging states to run their own markets for those without health insurance to purchase subsidized plans, the majority have opted to leave the job to the federal government. 26 states opted to let the deadline for forming state insurance exchanges pass on Friday, leaving the Obama administration to handle the details and the costs itself. It's like a double-edged sword, you know, and it's kind of scary the way that's set up. It's like, here, you can do it yourself, or we're going to do it for you. I mean, either way, we're screwed. Pardon the expression, but it's like either way, it's a terrible law, and it's gonna, you know, it's bankrupting and destroying our healthcare system. The exchanges are designed to let those without insurance compare and buy federally subsidized plans. How are you really purchasing a subsidized plan anyway? If it's subsidized, maybe you're paying a few bucks for it or something. In order to comply with Obamacare's mandate that everyone in the U.S. purchase health insurance. That's right. We're going to mandate that you purchase health insurance or we'll tax you and throw you in jail. That's liberal compassion for you. I'm so glad they defeated those mean Republicans who just, you know, want everyone to suffer. 718-305-716 is the call-in number. Originally, the choice for each state was between forming their own exchange or leaving it up to the federal government. But after it became obvious that a large number of states were going to decline to set up their own exchanges, federal health officials tried to woo them with a compromise. Ooh, these compromises. They're so constructive. Partnership exchanges that would allow them to pass some of the costs and responsibilities on to the federal government. So like I said, either way, it's just a bad deal. Either way, we are witnessing the destruction of our healthcare system and our financial system. I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, more news and hopefully your calls. Don't go away. Back after this.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? But everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, and I am Chris Ricketts, your host. Please, if you want to be a part of the program and share your opinion, the number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking about just some religious news, Catholic news. This was in LifeSite News, this article about a lot of the states opting, 26 states opting out of the insurance exchanges. So it goes on to say that on February 5th, the Congressional Budget Office quietly released information showing that the estimated cost of exchange subsidies had been revised upward by $233 billion for a total cost of more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years, a figure that does not include the amount of money the federal government will now have to spend operating exchanges themselves in the 26 states that have declined to shoulder the burden on their own. So why do they think that they can come in, you know, demand that people buy something that the states are going to, well, they better run these exchanges or else? I mean, it's liberal compassion and logic is just so not logical or compassionate, because it's just it's hosing all of us, and it's really frustrating to see here. The next story is my next example of something I'm going to have to go and disagree with Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York City. Now, look, I like Cardinal Dolan. He's taken a hard stand on the fight for religious freedom, and I really respect all that he's done and encourage him to continue. But from the Catholic News Agency, I think when I read the headline, you will know why I disagree. Cardinal Dolan finds common ground with Obama on guns. Yup. Here we go. Cardinal Timothy M. Dolan of New York highlighted President Barack Obama's call for sensible steps on gun control, noting that it is an area of agreement for the two leaders. Except Obama doesn't have sensible steps. He has steps where the government comes in, he issues a lot of executive orders, and they try to restrict gun access as much as possible. We have Democrats in Washington State there's a bill where they are going to allow, at least it's in the bill, to allow deputies to come in and search your home for proper gun storage. That's not sensible. I'm sorry. Cardinal Dolan says, I found myself nodding in agreement when the president said, overwhelming majorities of Americans who believe in the Second Amendment, have come together around common sense reform, like background checks that will make it harder for criminals to get their hands on a gun, the cardinal said. That's what he agrees with Obama saying. In a February 15th post on his blog, The Gospel in the Digital Age, he explained that he was very much in favor of legislation passed by New York last month that constituted the most comprehensive gun control bill in the country, or the most ridiculous. 718-305-7176. Is the Catholic Church, is Cardinal Dolan out on in left field on this one? You know, and again, they confuse liberty, they confuse social justice with big government. You know, I know that conservatives out there, we don't want guns to fall into the wrong hands. We know that there are crazy people out there who should not, who by any means, own a gun. People with severe mental health issues, you know, and of course people should have the knowledge to, you know, I'm all in favor of training programs that, you know, the NRA offers, allowing people to safely handle guns. Look, I was in the Marine Corps. When I was on the rifle range, you know, I saw someone get tackled because the muzzle of his gun accidentally briefly pointed to the guy next to him. They take it seriously. And even now, even if someone has a gun that is unloaded and it somehow points at me, I'm ready to tackle that person. The first safety rule of the Marine Corps was treat every weapon as if it were loaded. All the time. So I know that responsible gun owners feel the same way. And of course, we can't let, you know, these people who are clearly not capable of possessing a gun to get it. But this legislation that New York passed was ridiculous. And it really saddens me, to say the least, to see Cardinal Dolan sitting there clapping the most comprehensive gun control bill in the country. No, it was the most ridiculous. And the cardinal goes on to say, gun control has been much on my mind since the Newtown killings, referencing the December 14th shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. calls for stricter gun control laws have increased since the tragedy, and such legislation has been discussed at both the state and federal level in recent weeks. Cardinal Dolan says that advocating for gun control is not something new to the church. Unfortunately, the Holy See has continuously... Sorry, I lost my place. The Holy See has continuously been a strong voice in opposition to the international arms trading, the world's version of gun control. Okay, that's one thing. In addition, he pointed out that the U.S. bishops have for decades supported measures to get handguns off the streets and to ban assault weapons. Assault weapons. There we go again with that idiotic term. If I pick up a stick and hit someone with it, Is it now an assault stick? Is it something that, you know, do we need to ban that too? Because you can turn anything. If I throw a sock at somebody, is it an assault sock? I mean, seriously, we're taking this logic to its you know, where it's leading here. But we can't have you know, all the if criminals aren't going to follow the law, why is disarming citizens who need to protect themselves from those criminals going to help anything? You know, the cardinal explained that gun control is part of building a culture of life, of doing what we can to protect and defend human life. Now, I understand and I totally agree that we should protect and defend human life. Absolutely. But taking away guns, people have a right to defend themselves, and that's also in the Catechism of the Church. The right to life means that you respect your own life and you do what you can to defend it from someone who might want to take it. You know, it's of course we want to minimize gun violence, but at the same time, there's always going to be violence and criminals. Humanity is fallen in nature. We are sinful. Now, Christ redeemed us of that, but it's through the acceptance of that grace that we transform our hearts into something else. But we still commit sins, and the fact that evil exists means that it must be defended and resisted. And disarming people is not going to be the way to do it. So I am totally at odds with the bishops on this one. Keep up the fight on the HHS mandate and defending, you know, fighting against abortion, but going after, you know, being all happy and, you know, wonderful about Obama and their gun control initiatives, especially the stuff that came out of New York, you know, I'm sorry, I completely disagree, and I will speak out on that issue. Well, we've got about 4.5 minutes left, folks. You know, it really is a quick 2 hours, and it flies by. So, you know, before we close up, I want to tell you about tomorrow's show, The Sound of Freedom, with Hagen Resch. You know, we got Carl Higbee, the former Navy SEAL, and Guy Reschenthaler, former Navy JAG officer. So, you know, it's a great show. They always have a lot to say. They're wonderful to listen to. So tune into them. They're at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central tomorrow on Conservative Nation Radio. You know, these 2 hours really go by fast. You know, at first when I started doing this, it seemed like I wouldn't know what to say, but I seem to be able to keep running my mouth for as long as necessary. But anyways, you know, this is. I hope you enjoy the Warrior Catholic Show, and I'd love to hear your comments and opinions, even off the air. I have a Facebook page. It is the Warrior Catholic Show on Facebook. Click like. I share news stories and comments and, you know, everything else on there, news about the next show. I also, you know, you can check out the Warrior Catholics on conservativenationradio.org. We have a little bit on there, and it'll tell you about upcoming shows. Feel free to share and everything else. Also, if you want to get a hold of me personally, you can reach me through Gmail at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you if you have an idea or a topic you'd like to hear discussed, or just a suggestion or a comment, please. I am open to everything you have to say. I don't care whether or not you agree with me. I'm not here to have everyone nod their heads at everything I say. I know that there are people out there that will disagree, and that's fine. So I would love to hear from you. I greatly enjoy doing this show, and I really thank you for listening. Again, if you're inclined, share it on your own networks, get the word out. You know, doing all we can. I talk about politics and Catholic Church. And I'm not afraid to criticize either one, and you know, I'll give credit where I believe it's due, and all the rest, as you heard. I had to disagree with the church on a couple of things tonight on some of a social issue stance and a gun control stance. But that's what we're doing here, folks. We're advancing conservatism, traditional American values, and you know, I ask you to continue to do the same in whatever way you can. You know, whether it's just writing a blog or having a conversation with a neighbor, we're getting our ideals out there. And you know, whether or not the establishment Republican Party is going to do that, we can still give a voice to conservatism in our own homes. So with that in mind, another week has come and gone, and it is time for me to leave these airwaves. But I wish you a great rest of the week and a good weekend, and I will definitely be looking forward to chatting with you again next Wednesday, same time, same place. And until then, God bless you, and of course, the United States.